Oliver Wendell Holmes said, you were put here, sorry, he said, every calling is great when greatly pursued. Every calling is great when greatly pursued. I think he was pointing out to that which we should all instinctively know, that whoever we are, whatever we have to offer, if we offer it wholeheartedly, the best that we can, then that is what we are called to do. That each and every one of us is here for a reason, in a sense. For each of us is unique. Each of us has our own life to live, our own ways to follow. We're unique with our personality, with our skills, with our passions, with our points of view. You only need to look at any faith tradition to see the difference of points of view within each of those. I know how that can at times create tension, but at other times can be fertile and creative in the way that we discover God, the way we discover God together. But each of us is called to be our unique selves. We're not called to all be the same. We're called to be our unique selves. I remember over 30 years ago reading a sermon that had been written by a local preacher probably 30, 40 years before that. And his widow was there and she was showing me some of the things that she kept as mementos of him. And in it, one of them was a sermon that he'd preached on Easter Sunday, fairly shortly after the Second World War. And in it, the last line, I remember it as clear as day, it said, there is someone, somewhere, waiting for you to do for them what only you can do. There is someone, somewhere, waiting for you to do for them what only you can do. That's a staggering thing, to think that there's someone waiting just for you to do something for them. Part of the problem, of course, with that is we'll never know if we've done it. They might never know that you've done it for them. And they might never have asked you for it in the first place. But it still rings true that each of us, at times in our lives, will do for someone else what only we can do. And we are the only people who can do it because of our uniqueness, because of who we are. The skills, our personality, the way that all mixes in together. So my message today is very simple. Do what you're called to do, which is to be yourselves. But be your best self at all times. Strive for that. What is it that drives you? What is your passion? What is it that calls you? When people in church sometimes ask me, you know, they don't know what it is they're interested in, I just say to them, well, what's on your heart when you pray? What are the things that come to your mind? And invariably, you find it's pretty much the same things time and time again for them. For different people, of course, it's different. It might be caring for people who are sick. It might be helping people who are homeless. And I say, well, if that's what's burning in your heart every time that you stop and you think or you pray, then maybe that's your calling. Maybe that's what you're meant to be doing. So that's something I say to you this morning. If there are things that are on your heart, things that trouble you, things that constantly come up on your mind and say, something should be done about this, then you're the person who should be doing it. The people who should be getting involved in it. It's why as a church, we felt so strongly the call to be a church of sanctuary. Because of what we felt about the situation of people who were seeking asylum. That we wanted to welcome people who were refugees. It wasn't just on the heart of one person. It was on the hearts of a number of people. And it called us to do that. It was a passion that was lit within us. Often, it feels to us that there is a difference between calling or finding our purpose and being a disciple. Because not everyone who has a calling will be a follower of Jesus or a follower of every faith. For a calling is beyond faith. We see the calling of people who work in the healthcare system. We see the calling of people who are politicians. We see the calling of people who fight for justice, lawyers who work in immigration services and other places. People who put that calling as being the thing that they want to chase and live, and they often make it their way of living, their way of employment. But we don't employ an awful lot of people in the church. We employ a few. I'm grateful I'm one. But that's a slightly different thing. I don't think my calling, certainly my calling when I was younger, was never, well, it wasn't to be a minister in a church. That was something that came later as a response to how I experienced God's presence and God's love. Responding as a disciple can be a different thing than being or fulfilling a calling. When we think of people finding that calling, we often think of it in terms of lifelong changes, a lifelong dedication. We can think of people like Mother Teresa. We can think of people like Martin Luther King. We can think of people whose changes in their lives to stand up for what they're called, stand up for justice or truth, stand up for people, becomes a life-consuming act. Archbishop Romero in San Salvador gave his life because he found a calling which he could not resist. In Jesus, we see someone who had a calling and lived it to the full and lived his life in such a way, pouring it out in service of the world, pouring it out in service of all humankind. And his life was poured out in so doing. There are people for whom there are life-changing moments which change the direction of their life. But then there are us, the rest of us. The rest of us who may feel that we have a sense, a call of faith, which asks us to be disciples of Jesus. People who try and live in a way that follows the way that Jesus lived, the ways that Jesus showed us, and the ways that Jesus taught as being the ways of God. Calling and being a disciple can overlap. I look at someone like Heather, and I think of her calling to the research and the works that she does with has done over the years in the health service with HIV and AIDS patients. And I know that's a calling for her. But it's also something she does as a disciple of Christ, following that way, living that life and speaking up for it in church places or in places and conferences in all sorts of ways. But at other times, they may be separate. You might have people who calling is to be a musician and they make their livelihood and everything. And then we have disciples often in churches like Will, who comes and plays regularly for us, uses the gifts that he has got, his God-given gifts, to help lead us in our worship. We equally have people who are really skilled at making cups of tea and coffee. I'm worried now about what the tea and coffee is going to taste like on a Thursday or any other day of the week. Hurry up and may that shoulder mend. We bring, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, as disciples, we do bring our own unique gifts, our own unique personalities. And we are called to use whatever we can in service of God. At the beginning of the year, we can never decide whether it's the beginning of the Methodist Connectional Year, which is in September, or the beginning of the new year, which we celebrate in January. The Methodist Church have covenant services. And in our covenant services, we promise as followers of Jesus to do what we can, to use the gifts that we've got wherever we can. But we also promise that there may be times when that doesn't happen, and we will still remain faithful and true to God's ways. But to use whatever gifts we can in the service of God and in the service of our community is what each and every one of us are called to. As Paige grows up, Paige will develop her own gifts, her own skills. She'll learn from her parents. She'll learn from her godparents, Amy. She'll learn from us as a congregation, as well as her family. And during that, she might find that which sets her heart on fire, a real passion for something. Who knows what Paige will end up being? Isn't that exciting? To think of the potential that Paige has, that Izzy has, that all the young people who are with us today have. Isn't that exciting to think that they could be the people who change the world? They could be the people who discover cures for terminal illnesses that we never knew. They could be the people who find ways to help people who have Alzheimer's and dementia live more purpose-filled lives as they go on, where they are the people who change the way that we look after creation so that we have a world, a universe that is here, not just in 50 years' time, 200 years' time, but in 200 generations' time. Isn't that exciting, the potential that there is? And that's where each one of us has to do all that we can as individuals, but also as community, to help them, to be their guide, to be people they can come to and say, "What do you think of this? How do I do that?" All of us are in unique places to be a guide for young people in the world today. That's part of our calling. And so it is that for each of us, we need to look at ourselves, look at the gifts that we have and how we best use them. Not just in service of a church, but in service of community, the wider community, the whole community, the community where we live, the community where we work, the community where we are present, whatever that might be. Caring for trees, caring for animals, caring for children, caring for adults. All of us have things that we can do, things that we can offer to each other and to this world in which we live. So where is your calling? What are you called to be, to do at this moment? I pray that God would help each one of us find our purpose, our meaning, our calling, that we might use it in the service of God. Amen.